small icon. You probably won't be able to see this. I'll leave it up in the front. When you leave the church, you can look at it. This is an icon of Christ, of course. And it's from the monastery of St. Catherine on Mount Sinai. And the reason why this icon is famous, this icon is called Christ the Merciful Judge. And if you take a piece of paper and you cover up half of the icon, you see the face on this half has a certain expression. And I'll leave this up in front, you can look at it later. The face on this side has a certain expression. And the face on the other side has a very different expression. If you look at this icon closely, you take a piece of paper, you cover one side, and you cover the other side, you will notice two very, very different expressions by the Lord. This side that you can see now looks very angry. It's dark, and the eye is very sorrowful. And on this side, the countenance is brighter, the eye has joy. So totally different. I know I'm not illustrating this well from this distance, but I'll leave this up in the front, you can see for yourself. But the icon is very different. It's called Christ the Merciful Judge. And it reminds us that our Lord is at the same time the merciful and judging. I mentioned in my sermon last week that we don't, in the Orthodox Church, we don't preach hellfire and brimstone to have everyone walk out of here sad and scared, nor do we preach salvation for everybody with little effort so that everybody walks out of here complacent. Hopefully we don't preach a morality gospel, which all the priests, myself included, get accused of doing, you know, do this, don't do that, and it becomes a morality lesson. But hopefully we preach Christ, who came to the world to save everyone, you and me, but he did something on his part. And now we have to do something on our part. And how we do our part will affect, when we come in front of Christ, which face of Christ we're going to see. Will we see the merciful face that says enter the kingdom of heaven and puts us on the right side of God, like we read in the story in the gospel today? Or will we see the judging face of God that says go away from me into the eternal fire, the left side, as we heard in the gospel lesson this morning? Now, that's one image I want you to take away from church this morning, the image of this icon. As I said, I'll leave it out, and you can have a closer look at it on your way out. The second thing I want you to remember on your way out is if you open your liturgy book, open up the liturgy book in the pew for a minute, to page 16. And at the bottom of page 16, at least I think it's the bottom, near the bottom of page 16, you're going to see a petition that says, for a Christian end to our lives, peaceful, without shame and suffering, and a good defense before the awesome judgment seat of Christ. We offer that petition this morning, before the creed. Every time you celebrate the liturgy, you will hear that petition. So if you live to be a ripe old age of 80 or 90, and you come to church, I don't know, 50 times a year, I can't do higher math. Suffice it to say, you will have heard that petition probably 20,000 times in your life. So then when you become to that moment, when you're 90 years old, your life is about to be over, and you summon Father to the hospital, don't summon Father with the big question mark that so many people ask me to come to the hospital with. What now, Father? I say, have you been to liturgy lately? Yes, Father, every Sunday of my life. Okay, remember that petition for a Christian end to our life? peaceful, without shame and suffering, and a good defense before the awesome judgment seat of Christ. That's what happens now. Now, reflect on your life for a few moments now, and hopefully during the week. Think about the best thing that's ever happened to you in your life. That probably takes you about 5 seconds, right? Now think about the worst thing that's ever happened in your life. That probably takes you about 5 seconds too. Think about the best thing you've ever done for somebody else in your life. Now think of the worst thing you've ever done to somebody else in your life. Think about the things that you're proud of in your life. And think about the things that you regret in your life. Now also, think about all the prayers that have been offered over you in your life. This morning we had a great blessing. We had 2 40-day church meetings. So we offered a prayer to bring a new life into the community for the first time. Last Sunday we had a baptism. Expel from your servant every evil and unclean spirit hiding and lurking in their heart. Last night I had a wedding where we prayed for peace and comfort and sufficiency and wealth for the people that were getting married. Yesterday I heard 2 confessions and said, lose and forgive the sins of these people. Many of you have had your homes blessed or your restaurants. Think about all the prayers you've had read over you in your life. Think about all the events of your life. And then strip all of that away. Put all the prayers aside. Put all the events, good or bad, aside. And you end up with one thing. This petition. For a Christian end to your life, peaceful, without shame and suffering, and a good defense before the awesome judgment seat of Christ. If you want to look at all the petitions you're ever going to hear in your life, all the prayers that are ever going to be said over you, all the events that are going to happen in your life, good, bad, or otherwise, the most important thing really in your life is that. Because when you're about to exit this life with all the things it's had, good, bad, and indifferent, it's going to be reduced to one petition. In fact, it's going to be reduced to 3 words. A good account. In Greek, kali apologia. The word apology, apologia in Greek, means, it's not what it means in English. When we say an apology, it's I'm sorry for something. But in Greek, the word apology is a defense of something. There are certain fathers in the church that are called the apologists. And they went around, not because they were bad people, they were always saying sorry. The apologists were going around and they were defending the faith. They were making a defense of what we believe in as Orthodox Christians. So at some point, again, take away everything you have. Take away your family, take away your children, take away your marriages, take away your cars, your fame, your money, and everything. And you will be standing alone with our Lord Jesus Christ, making an apologia of your life. How did I do? How did I do with what you gave me? Now, the gospel lesson this morning from Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46, if you open the Bible to Matthew 25 and you read what comes immediately before that, it's the parable of the talents, which I'm not going to summarize today. But that is actually my favorite story in the Bible. But it tells us that everyone is given something to make with their life. Everybody's got some kind of a talent, some kind of a gift, some kind of an opportunity. And that's immediately followed by what happens when you die and you go to God and you answer to Him, what did I do with that opportunity that I have? Some people have great opportunity. They have great fame, a great pulpit from which to preach to millions of people. That would be the Hollywood elite and others. And some people have a small pulpit from which to preach. They stay home and they raise a child. They're a teacher in a classroom. They are a doctor with some patients. They are a lawyer with some clients. They are a priest with some congregants. But at some point, each of us, whatever our station in life, is going to stand in front of God and is going to make an apologia, a defense of what we did with what we were given. Some are given little, some are given much, and in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't matter. I know in the contemporary context that does matter. We feel bad if we don't have a lot of things. a lot of fame, a lot of money, a great job, a good degree. That's because we all tell each other those things are important. But in the scheme of God's grand plan, those things are not important. It's what you do with what you have. All right? So, I showed you that icon. I showed you that petition. Now I'm going to show you one more image to remember. It's a very large book. Many, many pages, hundreds of them. Imagine that this is the book of your life. This is the book of my life. Everybody's got one of these. And in the pages of this book are all the things that you do, all the people that you know, all the people that you love, all the people that you talk badly about. They're all in the book. That's the book of life. You don't say, well, I said a really nasty thing about somebody and that's excluded from my book. I mean, that's in there. Anything you've done in your life, it's in that book. Good, bad, and indifferent. And God has a copy of this book too. So when we go before Him for our apologia, I can imagine sitting in front of God like a judge in the courtroom. He'll call next client, Father Stavros, next case, come before the judge. God will pull His book off the shelf of my life. He'll read through it. Of course, I'll have my book. Those books will agree. I mean, there's no way I would be able to fool God and say, you know, my book doesn't have these failings. Of course it does. God's going to say, yeah, my book has it too. And I'm going to have to make a defense of myself before God, page by page of this book. So that means anybody in the congregation here, everybody in the congregation this morning, you all got a page of the book. Everybody. So if I've said a nasty thing to you in the last year, that's in my book. That's why next Sunday, and every Sunday before I receive communion, I'm going to ask for forgiveness. Because I don't want God to stain my book with my bad mouth. So, we're about to enter the season of Lent. And Lent is a good time to examine this book. What's in your book of life? If life ends tomorrow, what's written on those pages? I'm jumping on an airplane tomorrow. Sometimes people jump on airplanes and they don't come back. I mean, there's a chance that could happen. So I should be thinking about what's in my book of life. Just in case, you know, I'm one of those 1 in 100,000 flights that's going to crash and burn tomorrow. I should be thinking about that. I mean, 4 or 5 months ago, I wasn't planning on going to LA for the purpose that I'm going there for. That means my dad ought to be thinking about that. And I ought to be thinking about that with him and for him. And maybe as his son, who happens to be a priest, but never mind as a priest, as his son, maybe I should go and I should say, Dad, you know, I love you, and I hope you're going to live forever, but I know you aren't. So maybe I should help you as your son to prepare the book to meet the Lord. Maybe I should say the things that haven't been said that need to be said. Maybe I should say those things. Maybe he should say those things. I hope we all live to a ripe old age, 80, 90, 100. But at some point, the book of life is going to close on everybody. And at some point, we're all going to be taken from where we are to the awesome judgment seat of Christ, where we're going to have to make an apologia, a defense of what we did with ourselves. So we have this period of Lent, and it's a time for us to think soberly, reflectively, on what's in your book. Put some time aside to pray a little bit more. Put the hamburgers aside and eat simple food. Shut the TV off. Come to some more services. We have many of them. Over there, as you go out, next to the icon I'll put over there, there is the page of the Lenten Covenant. You'll also be getting one in your messenger this week. Many of you participated in that. Again, that's not for me to see. That's for you to make a covenant between you and God and say, regarding my book of life in this land, these are the things that I want to do. You can make a covenant. You can put it in a box up there. Put it in a sealed envelope with your name on it. After Easter's over, I'll mail it back to you. I never open those envelopes. You'll know that when I mail it back to you, and it's the same envelope that you sealed. You'll know I didn't open them and look at them. It's something for you. It's an opportunity for you to make some inroads in this. And there's some other things up there. Things about confession, So that's the prayers we say during Lent, to get our minds in gear to examine this book of life and the fact that we're going to stand before God and we're all going to hold it and we're all going to answer for it. So the last image I leave you with is again this icon. If tomorrow is your day, which face of Christ do you think you're going to see on your life? The merciful one or the judging one? The good news we received last Sunday, even if you've made a complete mess of your life, like the prodigal son made a complete mess of his, all you got to do is turn around and come back. One other thing about this book of life, if you've messed it all up, and some of us have, we have this beautiful thing in our church that's called confession. And when you go to confession, you bring your book of life. You bring it in front of the priest. And why is that necessary? Because the priest has this unique gift from God. And that is the ability to open the book and tear the pages out. That's like one of the greatest gifts God gives to the priest in the Orthodox Church. And it's one of the greatest gifts he gives to the people. So don't think about confession as the laundry list of my sins that Father's going to know, which Father's going to forget anyway. But think about it as an opportunity to bring your book and to tear out all the pages you wish weren't there. So if you die and go to God right after confession, you take the book that's only got the good pages in it. That's why we're doing that. That's why I talk about it so much. It's a great opportunity. Why go to God with a book that's half negative? Why not just go to Him with a book that's all positive? So that you sit down year by year, 30, 40, 50 years, and by the time you're ready for your apology, or by the time your apology comes, you are really ready for it. You would never go to court without a lawyer, right? And what's a lawyer? Your advocate before the judge. So why prepare to go to the judge without an advocate? That's the priest. That's where the priest comes in. Anyway, please give that some thought. Please keep me in your prayers this week. I look forward to being back with you next weekend. God bless you.